Welcome to the podcast. Today I'm pleased to be talking to Nick Fullerton, founder and principal at Fullerton Advisors and co-founder and president at Sports ETFs, which manages the first sports-related exchange-traded fund, the Pro Sports Sponsors Fund, which has a great stock ticker symbol, FANZ. Welcome, Nick.
Thanks, Fred. Thanks for having me on.
All right. Why don't we start out with, how did you first come up with this idea?
It was really a kind of fun story. My co-founder and I, Jim Cozumore, our kids go to school together, and we were chatting one morning in the school parking lot, and he said, I've got a crazy idea for you, since I'm in the investments world and he's in the sports world. What do you think about looking at a product or creating a product that surrounds sports? And I looked at him in kind of a funny manner and said, well, what do you mean? And we started talking about how the sports industry in general is growing exponentially faster than the overall economy. When you look at the NFL and baseball and NBA and NHL and soccer and all these sports and the leagues, they're growing a lot faster than the overall economy. So me as a sports fan and you as a sports fan and my friends and family that play fantasy football or have a college they cheer for or have a favorite pro sports team, there was no real good way for an investor to capture on this outsized growth that these leagues are seeing. So we dug down into the leagues and looked at different things like salary cap growth and attendance metrics and viewership numbers. And we kept coming back to the fact that there was no way for an average investor to invest in those. I mean, unfortunately, I'm not Mark Cuban and I'm not Steph Curry and I'm not an owner. So we looked at who else is benefiting from these leagues' outside growth. And we kept coming back to all these companies that become official partners of one of the sports leagues. So they, through the passionate, dedicated fan base, are their brands and their names and their ultimately revenue is kind of agreement with one of the leagues to become an official something of the leagues. For an example, Courtyard by Marriott's the official hotel of the NFL. Scott's Miracle-Gro is the official grass of Major League Baseball. Cisco's an official technology partner of the NBA. And we looked at these companies and we went back in time and ran some rudimentary back tests to see how they performed over time versus the broader market and found that they beat the overall market pretty significantly. So we said, hey, maybe we've got a product here. I mean, everyone likes sports and everyone likes to make money. Maybe we can put this together into an ETF. And that was kind of how the concept came about.
Great. Why don't you explain a little bit about the ETF and, kind of what you look for?
So once again, we had to find companies that were going to benefit from the growth of the league. So we looked at the official corporate partners. So the ETF is designed, it's a rules-based product. We don't have any active hand in picking the stocks that are in it. We let the leagues do that for us by looking at all the companies that are official corporate partners of what we call the core four sports leagues. So NFL, NHL, Major League Baseball, and the NBA. And we look at there's currently about 113 official corporate partners. Mm-hmm. Of those, 73 qualify to be in the index, meaning they are publicly traded on a U.S. or Canadian exchange or have an ADR on the U.S. or Canadian exchange. They're public. They have a minimum market cap of $1 billion, and they've got to have an average daily volume of $1 million over the past 6 months. And if they hit all these qualifications, then they'll go into the index behind the ETF, which is the Pro Sports Sponsors Index. and we equal weight the index. So every company within the index of those 73 names carries an equal weighting at the outset. And then we rebalance the index, add in new corporate partners, and remove companies that are no longer official corporate partners 4 times a year to coincide with the start of each leak season. So we do a rebalance in September that takes in and out NFL partners. We do one in October to coincide with hockey and basketball. We do one in January that we take in and out the official broadcasting and streaming partners. And then we do one in April for baseball.
Oh, okay. Great. Have you considered any other sports like horse racing, motorsports, any of those, less popular, low soccer would be one also, which is extremely popular. Have you considered any of those sports?
Absolutely. I mean, the sports world can be sliced and diced in so many different ways, and you've got fans that might not be a fan of the NFL but really love NASCAR, and you've got, golfers and tennis fans. I mean, the U.S. Open Tennis Championship's going on right now in New York, and you've got legions of fans that are fans of tennis, and they've got folks like Rolex and American Express and Mercedes that are all big partners of the U.S. Tennis Association. So we've definitely looked at other indices to build products around.
Mm-hmm.
The challenge is always how do you slice and dice an indice? Are there enough companies that are official corporate partners to make it into a viable, diversified product? Golf is a great example. They've got 40 or 50 tournaments and a whole lot of official corporate partners, so we're designing an index around that.
Mm-hmm.
NASCAR is very similar. Soccer is a product or an index we definitely like to launch. The question is, how do you design that index with, is it just international leagues that you're looking at? Is it team-specific partners? Do you include the MLS, which is the U.S. Soccer League, even though they're not really the, one of the, you could probably put them in the top 10 of biggest and best soccer leagues around the world.
Mm-hmm.
But the European leagues are definitely much bigger and stronger. So there's definitely other indices and products we'd like to bring to the market.
Uh-huh.
We don't have one on the table quite yet, although we've designed a few indices. Another one that jumps out at me, which we've built, is stadium sponsors.
Uh-huh.
So all the official stadium sponsors. So, the Warriors are building a new stadium in San Francisco, and it's the Chase Center.
Uh-huh.
You've got the Oracle Arena here in the Bay Area. You've got AT&T Park, Avaya Stadium down in San Jose. The Sharks is the SAT Pavilion.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got all these official corporate partners of the stadiums or stadium sponsors. So
uh-huh.
companies are always trying to affiliate themselves with sports because they see such a dedicated and passionate fan base that's going to help drive revenue.
Mm-hmm. Would the stadium sponsors, are you considering that like as a separate ETF or incorporating it as part of your current one?
That would be a separate indice we'd build.
Okay.
There's enough stadiums around the country mm-hmm. within all the different leagues that you can get a pretty diversified portfolio. Although the stadium sponsors, from what we've seen so far, tend to be a little bit more value-focused.
Uh-huh.
There's a lot of financial services firms that are official or stadium sponsors.
Uh-huh.
So, but there that would be a standalone product.
Okay. Have you considered an ETF where you invest directly into teams or semi-directly, like, for example, Manchester United, with soccer, or, the Philadelphia Flyers and the Phantoms and the Philadelphia 76ers basketball team are owned by Comcast. You have Toronto Maple Leafs owned by BCE and Rogers Communications. You have the Madison Square Garden, which owns the Knicks and the Rangers. Have you considered something like that?
Where it's the kind of an official team owner index, I guess, if you put in the... We've looked at that. The challenge there is it's a very small subset of the leagues that are owned, that are publicly traded.
Yes.
When you look, people say, well, I can invest in the NFL. I can just buy the Green Bay Packers shares. And, they're really not traded. It's more like, oh, hey, I own a piece of the team. I have a share plaque that I can put on my wall. But you're not really generating dividends or any return on that. You could do it for some of those other teams that you mentioned through, Comcast or through the Maple Leafs, Madison Square Garden. But it's really such a small subset of the overall sports industry. I think it would be tough to build an index around those.
Yeah, I guess you wouldn't have enough diversification. You almost have to include like the motorsports companies like Speedway and Dover and International Speedway. And I mean, you'd have to really stretch to cover that. So
that's correct.
All right. Now, you said that you look at the portfolio 4 times a year, so it's not actively managed. Is that correct?
That's correct. It's a totally passive product. We let the leagues do the stock picking for us because they really vet and they enter into these long-term agreements with these companies that want to become a corporate partner. So there's really not too much turnover amongst the companies, although the leagues tend to add categories to be an official corporate partner. But the agreements they're entering into with the companies, they're typically not disclosed financially, but they announce that they're 3 to 7 year or the typical range of length of partnership. And when I say that they're, companies are clamoring to be a part of these leagues as an official corporate partner, you look at the number of partners was in the 70s, if you look back 15, 20 years ago, and the leagues have grown in popularity, and they've expanded the available categories. And when I say what are the available categories, you look at financial services. There might have been originally an official bank of the NFL. Now there's an official payments provider. There's an official brokerage. There's an official insurer alongside the official bank. So you broaden that category of financial services out to 5 different companies that all are allowed to use the league shield and say they're an official corporate partner and they can do activities and activations around that partnership.
I see. Would you say that being a corporate sponsor actually helps the corporation's bottom line? In other words, does it help to bring in additional revenues that advertising?
It's tough to say there's an exact direct correlation. But there's been some studies, there's one that jumps to mind from McKinsey, that showed that if companies have a plan of action and have a dedicated activation of their partnership, they can increase their investment by over 30% versus their competition.
Wow.
So what we're finding is companies that choose to spend their marketing budget through sports tend to get a better ROI on their marketing dollar than their competitors do.
Okay.
It's almost like, although we're an equal weighted ETF, we're not a smart beta per se, but if you look at what factor we're looking at marketing as the factor that's driving returns of these companies.
I see. Okay. I just want to ask you real briefly about the original setup of the ETF. Was it difficult to set up your own ETF and to get it going and that type of thing?
It was definitely a long and arduous process. I mean, my partner and I came up with this idea back in, 2014 and started doing the research and looking at all these companies. We lacked the expertise originally to get it off the ground, so we went out and found a company named the Global Index Group, which is run by a gentleman named Kelly Houghton, who is one of the creators of the Russell 2000 Index, which is now one of the biggest indexes out there. And we entered an agreement with them to help us really flesh out the index that we designed and do an official back test looking back to 2005 and all the companies that had gone in and out of partnership and been added, and with our weighting program, and really help us design a business plan about how we're going to get this out there and market it. So it was a long process. There's costs associated, significant costs associated with launching an ETF. The good thing is there's the company that we elected to use, and there's a couple out there. Basically, they're white label firms that help you take your idea from inception all the way out to launch. And the company we used is Exchange Traded Concepts. Uh-huh. And they basically will white label your product for you. And they've already got the agreements with the trust company, the distributor, the index calculation agent, the accounting firm, the trust that your ETF goes into. So they've already got that all set up for you. So you can just take your idea and bring it to market much quicker than if we had to, hire a whole team to run through all those operational headaches that we're just not equipped to do.
I see. Okay, well, great. I appreciate the information you've provided. It was fascinating, and I think it's a very innovative type of ETF. Appreciate your time also.
Yeah, I appreciate it, Fred. And, one thing I wanted to add is we launched last year on Major League Baseball's All-Star Weekend, which was July 11th, and we hit our year anniversary about a month ago, and we actually beat the S&P by about 2.5% over that year. So we think it's a great product, well-diversified for your portfolio. It's got, it's broadly diversified amongst consumer discretionary, consumer staples, financials, technology, some healthcare, energy. So it goes across the board in terms of breadth of the product, and it has performed pretty well since we launched. So we're very excited about its prospects.
Well, that's great. Wow. All right. Well, thanks very much.